Our epistle for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we unimperishable. I therefore so run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others I myself should be rejected. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just." So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour and did as before. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing about. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here all day idle?" They said to him, "Because no man has hired us." He said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." But when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first." Now when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in their turn came, they thought they would receive more, but they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, "These last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat." But answering one of them, he said, "Friend, I do thee no injustice. Dost thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I once had a soul ask me about that part of Scripture that we have started off our sermon with, the very last sentence of today's Gospel. Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. And the soul asked me to explain it. I go, well, the first part is pretty self-explanatory. If we place ourselves first in the eyes of man, then we're going to be last in the eyes of God. Like Christ has said, if we do it for the praise of men, we've already received our glory. We're supposed to do our good works so that the good Lord sees us. And those good works must be done in our heart. And then the soul said, well, what about "for many are called, but few are chosen"? I don't like that one. Why don't you like that one? He goes, well, some people are going to go to hell. I go, Where does it say that in there? Well, there's only many, and then there's just a few, and then what happens to the rest of everybody? I go, but the many plus the few equals all. That's what the commentators of sacred scripture tell us. All men are given the necessary grace to save their souls. There are a few that are given special graces, special vocations, special callings. But everybody needs to make a choice. Well, so those, the few that are chosen, are they predestined? I said, no, they're not predestined. They have to follow through with their vocation. They have to give their fiat and live their fiat. Because, well, give me an example of somebody who was chosen but didn't do that. I said, Judas. He was chosen to be one of the 12 and he didn't follow through properly with it. And the soul was like, oh. It's important that when we consider the scripture, that we don't violate the very thing that the parable is talking about, I told her. What was the thing that the parable was talking about? It was about comparing ourselves to others, trying to weigh who gets what. No, it's all in the hands of the good Lord, and He is just and fair and good. And we need not be concerned about it. But what we do need to be concerned about is making good use of the gifts and graces that have been given to us and not squandering them. We are 2.5 weeks away from Lent. In Lent, there are special graces given that are only given during that season of Lent for those who will have them and who will make good use of the spirit of Lent and live in it and let it live in them. We have 2.5 weeks of preparation for that holy season of Lent. How will we prepare? Well, in the words of one of those chosen souls, St. Francis of Assisi, he is known to say, do first what is necessary, then do what is possible, and before you realize it, you will do the impossible. Well, what is necessary? Necessary thing is to make sure that we are in God's grace, plain and simple. Contrition. But I kind of divided these into basic three categories for our consideration. Of the things that are necessary, where it concerns the commands of God, the commandments, our obligations as Catholics, our obligations where it concerns our vocation, and then our spiritual exercises. The commandments, yes, necessary for us to keep them. But it's possible that we do more than just keep them, isn't it? We don't just abide by the commandments so we don't sin or we don't go to hell. That's imperfect. Very imperfect. We don't do it just so that we don't offend God either. That's still not perfect. We do it so that we can abide and we can prove our love for Him. That has to be our reason. And that's something that happens in our heart and in our mind. Nobody can make that decision for us but us. And then you will find the impossible starts taking place. You're not only living the commandments, but you're becoming virtuous. What the commandments command or command us not to do, if we live them, are supposed to lead on to virtue. The virtue which corresponds to those commandments. And of course, all virtue and proper living of the commandments can be connected with the commandment of charity or love. Obligation. We all have obligations where it concerns our vocation. Our vocations as human beings, we were called into existence for one purpose, to be saints. We learn this when we learn our catechism. Why did God make you? God made me to show forth His goodness and to be forever happy with Him in heaven. God made me to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this world, to be forever happy with Him in heaven. We have vocations where our concerns are way of life. For some of us, we're students. Others, we must go to work. But then we have our vocation where it's concerned the three main vocations of religious, single, or married. But then it goes into how we address those obligations. If we address them as obligations of burden, then we're going to treat them like obligations of burden, and the result's going to be that of a burdened soul. If we treat the obligations out of an obligation of a want to love God, then the result will be the fulfilling of those obligations from a loving soul. Our obligations where it concerns God, where it concerns our neighbor. We go to confession, we get forgiven. Have we forgiven our neighbor all injuries, real or imagined? And if so, how have we forgiven them? So the purpose has to be considered. And the purpose must be simply put, for Christ's sake. Spiritual exercises. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, if you do not pray, you will not save your soul. Plain and simple. If you don't pray, you don't go to heaven. What is prayer? Prayer is a communication with God. It is not a rambling on of words that we have memorized or that we read out of books. It's where God communicates with us and we communicate with God. But before we can communicate, we have to identify who God is with us. Is God an entity out here that we kind of think about perhaps on a Sunday? Or is God a being that we love from within here? And we love him every day. Of course, we have our daily prayers, morning prayers, night prayers. We should pray. Prayers before and after meals. Those are the things that are necessary. And then we do things that are possible, like perhaps coming to Mass during a weekday, maybe on a Saturday if we can, an extra Mass. Making a spiritual communion. What's a spiritual communion? A spiritual communion, a true spiritual communion, comes from a soul who really wants to be with God, wants to be one with God, and calls God to be one with him in that moment, even though he can't receive him in the Blessed Sacrament. And then before you know it, once you start seeing all the possibilities, you start doing things that you think are impossible, like the daily family rosary, not saying it, praying it. This powerful weapon against evil. We wield it fervently in these evil days, calling upon our Blessed Mother as our Blessed Mother, wearing the scapular faithfully, not finding an excuse not to wear it, but to wear it knowing that her promise was that we won't suffer eternal fire, but that she is the greatest avenue for us to use to love her Son more perfectly. To Jesus through Mary. We'll find that we will start putting away things that we don't need and taking upon ourselves things that are better for us, like putting down our phone and picking up a spiritual reading book and doing 15 minutes of spiritual reading every day and make it a habit. Now, all these things that we talk about, we can definitely make plans to go down that road during this Lenten season. That's what these 2.5 weeks are for. A side note, if you want a really good spiritual reading book, don't be fooled by the title or somehow be insulted by the title. I've read this book many times, and I'll probably read it again this Lent. But it's by Archbishop Goodyear. It's called Saints for Sinners. It is inspiring. It is uplifting. It's very helpful. And it's an easy read. But during these 2.5 weeks, let us count our blessings. And be sure to note that we are among the few that are chosen. In this day and age, how many people receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? How many are able to assist that holy sacrifice of the Mass? Oh, we were chosen. This doesn't happen by accident. This is a grace. How are we going to wield that grace? We have to first appreciate it. How many people are going to, with the eyes of faith, see Christ under the appearance of bread and wine today? You will. I will. We have been chosen. Let us count our blessings, show ourselves thankful, make plans for the graces that will be given to us, especially during the holy season of Lent. Let us draw for ourselves up a prayer and a penance schedule within these 2 weeks before Lent and prepare for that holy season which prepares us to die with Christ on the cross that he might rise within us anew on Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.